And this morning I want to start off with the big picture of all of reality in small bite-sized pieces.
That's easy.
So, what I've kind of developed this over time, that there are three major realms. And this has kind of been recognized through most of history that we have, and I use a box for nature, the physical universe, everything that's in it, which would include our bodies, on out to the cosmos. Everything physical is in here. I call it nature's box. Kind of stretch it out and it becomes a coffin, because one of the features of this, everything decays. Everything runs down. Every living thing in here dies. So one of the features of this is death. One of the constants is change. Constantly changing. The laws of thermodynamics also in here. That second law of thermodynamics, everything runs down. The amount of usable energy in this box is running out. Every energy exchange, you put gas in your car, when it turns from chemical energy to combustion energy in the engine turns it into mechanical energy, which propels your car. Each one of those energy exchanges is very expensive. And so out of the total amount of energy available in a gallon of gasoline, maybe 5% is actually used to push your car. And so that other 95% is heat that just goes out to heat up the universe. Can't be used for anything. We find ways to use that energy more efficiently. Turbochargers increase the percentage of useful energy, but everything in here is running down. Now, Romans 8 says that there'll come a day when the creation will be set free from its bondage to decay, which is what God part of the curse back in Genesis chapter 3. So that's all related. Then there's AIIUs. I'll get to that in a minute. They don't exist over here, but they do exist. We use them all the time. And there's on the back at the top is a list of some of those AIIUs. Abstract. The A is for abstract. That's mental things. Things that only exist in the human mind. And ultimately come from God's mind. All of these, can you go out and find a pound of justice somewhere? How about a yard of beauty? These things, abstract, immaterial, they don't exist physically. Show me a tube in the universe. You can show me two things, but a tube doesn't exist. It only exists here. These things philosophers have recognized, they're part of what, we're kind of like animals, but we have all this other stuff that animals don't have. Immaterial, invariant, they don't change with time. 2 + 2 = 4 was true 6,000 years ago. It'll still be true a million years in the future. They don't change with time. And they're universal. You could go to a cannibal headhunter's village and he has 2 pineapples and 2 bananas and he has 4 objects. Everybody knows that. They're built into us. They're hardwired. The labels are different. Dos in Spanish, gueux in French. You know, the labels are all different. But underneath these ideas are universal. That if I throw a rock at a certain trajectory, we'll know how far it's going to go. A headhunter will throw his spear or shoot his arrow or whatever he does. There's a calculation going on as where I need to do that to hit my target. Then there's a whole formula in physics for the trajectory of a cannonball. It was the same before there ever was a cannon in the Garden of Eden as it will be in the future anytime. Those laws, whole nother problem. Laws. Laws don't exist anywhere except in our mind. They're descriptions of things. And so philosophers, all the way back to Plato, we call them forms. Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Anybody not know who they are? What do they represent? What are they?
Ducks.
Ducks. Yeah. But they're still ducks. So there's this idea of duckness. Anywhere you go on the face of the earth, oh, that's a duck. We just know it. Trees. If I say, everybody picture a chair, probably no two people would picture the same chair. But if we could take pictures of all, they would all be chairs. So he had recognized this idea that there is this thing that doesn't exist in the material universe that sort of explains why chairs and trees and owls and there's all these forms out there. But he had no explanation of how you go from duckness to duck. We could put Huey, Dewey, and Louie in the oven, have them for supper. But we can't put duckness in the oven. Just like we can't put two, we can put a representation of two, but two doesn't exist anywhere here. And there's all kinds of these things. And it's bothered philosophers because if there is no God, why do these exist? So they had some explanations, and mostly they boil down to, grant me a miracle, and I can take it from there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Big Bang Theory. We get all the laws and everything, all the matter, energy in the universe in a moment, and all the laws that govern them. Grant me that miracle, and we'll take it from there. How do we go from nothing to something? But then finally, there is God, the originator. Now, they didn't have this. Even the atheists understand these exist, but they can't explain where they come from. They got no idea. It's a total... There's a lot of mysteries in the atheistic religions. Because they have no idea how this stuff works. And that's part of our apologetic is we know exactly why they work. It's because there's an originator. Before there was any of this, there was this. There was God. Now in the New Testament, when you think about it, I heard Jason earlier talking about the Word becoming flesh. And this is the kind of year to bring out most of those kinds of things. But how God can put this together and make it all work. We saw Isaiah 6:3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. It's already here. And so part of this apologetic is starting point. Where do we start? We start with the fact that the whole earth is filled with His glory. That the heavens declare the glory of God. Everything about Him is so pervasive. His glory is so pervasive. Romans 1, around 18 to 22, that it is part of the judgment and condemnation for those who refuse to acknowledge what they already know. Because it says God has revealed it to them. They're not going to hell because they sinned one day. They're going to hell because they refuse to acknowledge the God that every human being knows about. But so you go anywhere on the face of the earth and find religion. Atheism is still a religion. It's a theological position. There's no escaping God because everything that exists is part of the glory of God. And in the on the front of this, under the apologetics concept, is some stems. And we'll get into those when we get more into the classical apologetics, because they look more at the philosophical reasons why. Because if God and His Word are true, theology, apologetics, and philosophy, and science have to agree. They have to.
Right.
And distortion in any one of those areas, it's like a threefold cord, is not easily broken. Distortion in any one of them reduces the strength of the cord as a whole. And so there's the checks and balances in there also. So in the overall picture of apologetics, we'll get into evidential apologetics. This is largely what we're talking about. The scientific evidence, why do we know the Bible is real, history, Josh McDowell's evidence that demands a verdict, and that. Lee Strobel's case for Christ, all of those things fit in here. Mm-hmm. They're evidential. I think that's the category of apologetics called evidential apologetics. Then there's classical apologetics, which deals more with these things. Philosophy and showing even to the first, about 125 AD, the first apologetic, explaining to the king why Christianity is the only acceptable possibility. And so, and number two there, or in, under this apologetics concepts, is if anything exists, God of necessity must exist. And I'll get to that when we get more into the classical apologetics, why that is true. It has to be true. And then apart from God, nothing can be explained, justified, or proved. Now, we can have levels of these things, but what we're talking about is going down to that bedrock place built on a solid rock that we can then build back up again. I made this illustration. To show, we have a state. I just had a conclusion over here. Somebody makes a statement. There's a bridge of reasoning and a conclusion. So, Book of Daniel was written in 163 BC. What's wrong with that?
There's a lot of people that didn't agree with history.
Since there is no God, and Daniel is supposedly a prophecy about the future, nobody can know the future except God, but there is no God, so the book of Daniel had to be written after the fact.
Yeah.
This is some liberal theology. It's atheist. It's functionally atheistic. They may claim, you know, people, they claim to believe in God, but they are functionally atheists. They live as though God doesn't exist. So we have a statement, a bridge of reasoning to a conclusion. But then, let's take, if we go down this way, we go down to the most basic ideas. They'll never say at the beginning God doesn't exist. They'll just have these whole lines of thoughts, but when we go down this way to the most basic ideas, and this is where philosophers just kind of shred, you know, instead there's all these, every piece in your hand has a label, It's that kind of stuff. Getting that far down to the most basic foundation of thinking and belief, and called presuppositions. And we get down, and we do it in Scripture too. We read things according to what training we already have. When a scientist goes into the laboratory, he believes things before he ever even does an experiment. And the results of that experiment, okay, we're going to date this rock. We sort of believe this rock is 60 million years old. So we'll do some experiments. We come out, hey, this date says 5,000 years old. That's obviously wrong. We throw it away. Even though that is probably closer to than what we believe is 60 million. They've come up with one that's 40 million, 65 million, a billion. So, oh yeah, 65 million. That's what we're looking for. It'll be announced in all the newspapers as what the wonders of dating and how accurate it is and all that kind of stuff. But they started with ideas that both accept and reject, you know, what is possible, what is impossible. What is heresy, what is orthodoxy, all depends on who you're talking to. And unfortunately, this gets down into denominationalism and all that kind of stuff, because obviously we're orthodox and you're not. So all of this stuff just plays in, and it's related to here, and so we need all of these working together. And God is very holistic. It was the Gnostics that separated the physical, the corrupt and evil physical from the perfect, perfect. And in Islam, it is not possible for God to enter his creation. As the word becomes flesh in Christianity, in Islam that's not possible because God is perfect. And his creation is corrupt. And something perfect cannot come in contact with something corrupt and not be corrupted itself.
But it can create the corrupt.
Well, they don't have an explanation of exactly. And that's for, like, if you're talking to a Muslim, well, how did the creation become corrupt? Or did God make it corrupt? They would start getting into that kind of stuff. And so hopefully as we progress through this, we learn questions are good. Oh, you know, we can't believe the Bible because it has miracles. There's an unstated philosophical bias in there. And so always, you know, everybody practice this. What do you mean? Everybody say it. What do you mean? No matter what they throw out there, this gives that moment of pause for the Holy Spirit to intersect, because he said he'd give us words. Context is in court, but he will still give us words. Because if this person is really has the Holy Spirit working on them, the Holy Spirit wants them to get good answers. Mm-hmm. And he wants to give us good answers. We may not know the good answer at the moment. Another one is, I don't know, but I'll find out and get back to you. Mm-hmm. But we're so going to help. We got the answers. We're just kind of bulldoze and fake something. And most of these people that the Spirit of Truth is working on them, they can tell, yeah, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And they'll never talk to you again. Or in the same way. We've just broken an opportunity. That's what, so we become better. It's not anything to get condemned about. We've probably all done that.
Yeah.
Given bad answers. And then realized we gave them a bad answer, and now they're not talking to us the same way anymore. Because we're now, in their eyes, a fake. They don't trust their answers anymore. And it may be rebuildable, but so we get that. Thank you, Jesus. So apart from God, nothing can be explained, justified, or proved. And that's down to this kind of level. We can do some kind of things on an upper level, all the CSI TV shows and all that stuff that are real popular.